Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What time is it?
It's Brody time!
Excuse me. Couldn't get to the cough button there in time.
Didn't notice.
Did you just put on your Cubs World Series ring?
It feels good. And I know how much you hate the fact that I got a ring.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest middle linebackers in Bears history, indeed, down here with Mike Singletary.
Did you see Die Hard?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That was awesome.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Samurai.
Not a Mark Grody.
Hey, Cordero, can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't even talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it's been kind of a devastating day for me with Bubba and then the bird. So
Bubby.
Bubby.
And when the Patriots took a 3-0 lead.
Les, the Bears were America's team. What are you talking about?
No, they weren't. They weren't. Everybody.
Yeah, sure they were.
Everybody. You weren't down there. I was.
Mark Grody, go ahead. Unmute, Mark.
Here I am. Unmuted.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Here with you until 9 o'clock. It's happening weekend, friends. The sunshine is beaming into the downtown Score studios near Michigan and Lake, and that's the way it ought to be. Another beautiful day in the great, big, beautiful city of Chicago. What was it, 62 degrees at game time? Did I hear Pat Hughes say for the Cubs game at Wrigley Field? Just a brilliant day for everybody. These are precious days because we still feel the cold. Like, relativity is a real thing. It's not till like July 27th or 28th when we start to take the warmth for granted because you know what's a coming. But the Cubs lose to the Brewers today by a final score of 3-1. The Cubs are 19-14. They've had that's a good start to the season. Most teams would take a start like that to a year because you just never know. Things get mangled and scrambled early in seasons for teams. We've seen it here in town, and you've seen it with many other teams. You can't get past a bad start sometimes. It's been a good start for the Cubs. They have played pretty good baseball throughout this, but at 19-14 right now, for some reason, I know why, but at this very moment, it kind of feels reversed. Got to reverse it. 14-19 is kind of what it feels like with the Cubs because of, you know, if you're watching the games, you know that everything feels like a high wire act for Craig Counsell because of the injuries to the starting pitchers, because of ineffectiveness from some of his high leverage bullpen guys. And that's where we are again today. The benefit of the people that did not get the details on the game today. Yes, the Cubs lose, but I suppose the big story was two big stories in this game. Hayden Wesneski was great. We will get into the positive. Don't worry. This is just what's on my mind right now. Adbert Alzolay, allowed three runs in the eighth inning to give Milwaukee all of their runs in the subsequent 3-1 win for the Brewers today. So, again, Alzolay struggled big time. Four blown saves. Now this, also four steals on his watch. The Brewers' base running was a menace, and there was a breakdown while Adbert Alzolay was in there. And I'm thinking to myself, man, is that it for Adbert Alzolay? Like, is he going to get the phantom disabled list here? Is he going to get the Kyle Hendricks treatment? And so that's exactly what you're thinking over there, isn't it, Alex? Get the phantom treatment. Because there's nothing else. I mean, you can't send him down at this point. He's out of options. You don't really want to send him away because he built up a lot of equity with what he did last year in high leverage where he was good. But something's got – I mean, you can't put him in there, I don't think, in the next four or five games. That's for sure.
I was discussing it the other night, and I know that Mike Esposito was filling in for Zach on the post game, and he pointed out that Adbert Alzolay had given up five home runs after his outing the other night, as many as he gave up all of last year.
That's amazing.
I mean, you have to kind of, if you did it with Kyle Hendricks, you got to start thinking about it with a guy like Adbert Alzolay. You can't send him down. You have to do something.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, it's pretty obvious that teams are on to Adbert Alzolay. And I don't know. I have not heard anybody utter pitch or tipping pitches at this point, but something is going wrong. The anticipation is, you know, players have been right on Alzolay, and it's a problem. It's a problem. And I know. I mean, my initial reaction, no. I would like to see Adbert Alzolay pitch again for the Cubs. Now, you've got other options. You know, you could do the Phantom DL. You can start to put him in the lower leverage spot, bring him in for long relief, bring him in when you have a five-run lead, let him get some work, figure it out. This is this is where Tommy Hotovy comes in. You know, it's on him. You know, Tommy's got to figure out why was a guy so effective 1 year and not the next year? And I get it. That's a typical bullpen conundrum. It happens, but I'm not ready to give up on Adbert Alzolay. But today was and by the way, we have just opened the phone lines. I just saw them magically appear. And if you are interested in talking about the Cubs here right now, and what do you do with Adbert Alzolay, 312-644-6767. I'll tell you what, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I was not at the Cubs game today. I watched the entire thing on television. I actually caught a couple innings of Pat Hughes, who was back as well. I was kind of dreading when counsel came to get Alzolay out of the game that we were going to hear big boos from Alzolay, or even while he was giving up the runs. There was definitely that discomfort sound, that sort of, sort of like what you were doing probably if you were watching the game today. I felt that in the crowd, maybe a couple of boos, but there wasn't, it wasn't this all out, we're sick of you, you know, big time boos for a guy that has blown four saves and blew the game today. I was actually okay with that response because I felt like the crowd was conflicted, like I am, in that you're not ready to just, really? That's it for this guy? Like, really bad, high leverage, blown games. I get it. It's all there. There's no way to soften how bad Alzolay has been this year. But I can't go with, you got to get him off the roster. Remake this guy. Take care of him. Get him better, Tommy Hotovy. Get him better, Craig Counsell. And I think, look, and Counsell put him in high leverage in this game. And there is a common theme today. Adbert Alzolay today, again, allowed three runs in the eighth inning, gave Milwaukee all of their runs. So Alzolay entered the game with one out in the eighth inning, nobody on. The Cubs were leading the game 1-0. First batter he faces, he goes full count with Jackson Chourio, delicious, before he gets the single. And then he steals second. That was a big motif / theme in that inning. Then, and keep in mind, he was ahead of Jackson Chourio. Alzolay then had William Contreras 1-2, but Contreras eventually comes up with an RBI hit, 1-1. So he was ahead in the count, and then Contreras was sitting on it. Then both Willie Adames and Jake Bowers, yeah, Jake Bowers, follow with RBI hits. Both of those were on 1-2 counts as well. So he's getting ahead of guys, and then he's not able to put them away. So his pitches just aren't working. They're looking a little bit too sweet right now to the batters, even when he is getting ahead. Because that's what I was really paying attention. You know, can I figure out exactly what is going on just like with my eyes? And definitely was missing his spots, but it was pretty amazing that he was actually working some pretty strong counts, and then the whole thing would just start to unfold. So there's no doubt this was absolutely rough. He seemed to lose control of the inning as well because four guys stole bases, and that mattered. That mattered a lot. Like, we talked so much about stolen bases and how, you know, it doesn't matter anymore and it's not really a big-time stat. Every one of those stolen bases seemed to matter against Adbert Alzolay in this game. So it's rough to see. I was nervous for him. I was cool with Counsell giving him the ball there. I really was. I was like, I mean, there's just no way this guy is cooked. But nervous for him. And it's got, you know, I heard him talking after the game. I heard Spiegel play some of the post-game audio right there. But it just sounds like he, you know, I think he is in his own. He's got to be. I mean, letting those guys steal all those bases, missing his spots, doing things that are uncharacteristic of Adbert Alzolay, it's a problem. And like I said, we're going to talk about Hayden Wesneski because there is good. Look, again, Cubs are 19-14. There is plenty of good going on with the Cubs. And just a whack series before the start of this series against Milwaukee. That four-game series against the Mets, every game seem to have its own story. Let's get to some of your calls here in the first segment. Again, coming, I talked about this in transition, but we're going to have Trey Wingo on at 6:25 to talk about the Bears and to talk about the NFL at large and his thoughts on the draft. Remember, he had very strong thoughts on the way the Justin Fields things was handled, as in he didn't like the way it was handled. He is skeptical, is Trey Wingo, about any rookie, you know, big, well-touted quarterback. So we'll see what his thoughts are post-draft for the Bears. But right now we are talking about the Cubs, and this is William on the South Side. What's going on, William? You're on the Score.
Hey, do you remember when Ben first came up, they had like a relief pitcher start the game? I'm thinking maybe do that with Alzolay to get the pressure off of him a little bit.
You said, you're talking about Ben Brown and his first start when they let him pitch a few innings just to get a little bit under there. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Using Alzolay in a position like that.
As the opener. We lost you, man. Sorry about that. I got you, though, to maybe use him as the opener. Hey, look, this is where Craig Counsell comes in. You know, he's your $8 million a year manager, and I trust that he's going to know how to handle the situation. I definitely don't hate that idea of, you know, maybe have him be your opener. Have him pitch the first inning. Say, this is what you're going to do. Get three outs. You know, you could do that, or just put him in low leverage, like I was talking about. Like, that's a definite possibility for him. The Phantom, I think that's probably what we're going to see. We're probably going to see the Phantom injury list. And by the way, oh, you know that's what it is, Coon, don't you?
No, I don't know anything, but if we were making odds on this, that would be like -250.
Yes, and speaking of which, Kyle Hendricks made a rehab start last night for AA. I think it's Saturday or Sunday. Monday. Let's do our math here. Monday, I believe Kyle Hendricks is scheduled to make another start in Iowa. He's good, by the way. Last night, we'll see what he does in Iowa. I'm just going to assume, I don't even know what the injury was that they said. I am just going to assume and accept that that was a phantom injury as well. Kyle Hendricks just needed to get himself better. So we'll see if he makes a turnaround from that. But something's got to be done with Adbert. Let's go to Sam from, I can't see where you're from, Sam. Sam, where are you from?
Stoughton, Stoughton.
Oh, okay. Where's that?
Well, a little Norwegian village south of Madison.
Sick. What's on your mind, man?
I just want to say, you know, you can, Albert, yeah, it's a problem, but I'm going to call a little BS on Ricketts in the front office message because they say, you know, we're going to turn around what we make on baseball back into the roster. And that's all fine and good, but are they counting the real estate? Are they counting the rooftops? Are they counting everything else? Because I feel like there was a little room to get a couple more veteran arms to give Council more just options and depth. And you're letting this guy play on the end of a hook right now, and you're bringing over a rival manager. You could have given him, you could have dipped in for what, 15, 20 million more? What are we supposed to do with Albert? Yeah, Albert needs to work through it. But yeah. I got a bigger problem with all this.
All right, Sam. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that. Like, they did bolster the bullpen, in theory, with Hector Neris. Like, that was the fail-safe. I mean, going into this season, it was not a slam dunk for Ebert Alzolay. It was pretty close, but I think everybody kind of looked at that, and including Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell, and said, not quite sure if Albert Alzolay is going to be the guy that marches out there every game for a save. So they were aware of that, believe it or not. And that was the reason that they brought in Hector Neris. Unfortunately, Hector Neris has made me nervous a lot of the time. And he has definitely had more success this year already than Albert Alzolay. But your backup plan is not even that sturdy. That's why we're in a position where we're trying to figure out who exactly is the ninth inning guy, who is the high leverage guy. I don't even think it's Hector Neris.
No, you have Alzolay who comes in, throws strikes, and gives up home runs. And then you have Neris who comes in and doesn't throw strikes and somehow miraculously gets out of jams.
Yeah, he's like the first and second base before you know it closer, yep. And then somehow he gets out of it closer. I can't ride like that. I can't do it like that. Look, if you are... a team that has expectations to win, you must have at end of the bullpen high leverage guys. Right now, just right at the moment, the Cubs are in a bad spot in that. Now, there is going to be an effect here where you're going to begin to get some of these starters back that are out right now, as in Justin Steele is scheduled to return to the bigs and pitch against San Diego on Monday. So that could mean that as good as Ben Brown has been as a starter, that maybe you try Ben Brown in high leverage or at the end of the game. Hayden Wesneski, 6 1/3, didn't allow a run today, 3 hits, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks, 90 pitches. He was terrific today, but could he be somebody who is suitable for the end of the rotation once you don't need him as a starter at this point? And I don't know. Maybe he does have starter in his future. Same thing for Ben Brown. Lord knows they all want to be starters. But things will start to fall back into place for Craig Counsell, where he could start to have some choices or could try to experiment with some of these other guys once he gets Justin Steele back. Jordan Wicks still out, of course, but the jury is still out on him. Shota Imanaga has been great. I told you about Kyle Hendricks. We'll see about Javier Saad. That's another name right there. And I know everybody loves what he has done as a starter, but that could be a valuable piece out of the bullpen. And I keep harping at it, but he's only going to take you so far in a game. Assad is a 5-inning pitcher right now, and there has been 2 cases where literally he goes 5 innings. Craig Counsell lets him go let him go one more inning into the 6th inning. And in 2 cases, I think it was back-to-back starts, he gave up 2-run homers. So you just don't have a lot of guys like that that can go deep, which means that I think Javier Saad might be best suited for the bullpen as well. We'll talk more about the Cubs later on. As a matter of fact, we'll try to come up with some actual solutions for the Cubs other than the ones that I just went through there. But we'll talk about minor league solutions a little bit later on in the program. But when we return, let's get talking about the Bears and the NFL with our guy, Trey Wingo. He will join us next. I'm Mark Grody.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The score.
It's about a 50% fail rate for first round picks. Literally about a 50% fail rate. And if you've taken a guy in the first round, he's got to check some boxes, right? He's got to be a certain size. He's got to have a certain wingspan. He's got to have a certain 40 time. He's got to have a certain three-cone shuttle. He's got to have big hands if he's a quarterback. So if it doesn't work out, the scouting department can say to the GM, he had all these things. It was supposed to work.
Right.
That's why there's so many great players that get drafted in the second and third and fourth round, because they kind of get off the ticking the boxes thing and they just focus on the damn tape.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's happening? Thanks for being with us here on The Score on a Friday night. Back to the Cubs a little later on, like I said. Andy Martinez, Cubs reporter for the Marquee Sports Network, will join us at 7:20 to get that going again. But you just heard the voice of Trey Wingo from earlier this year. I believe, was that on one of our shows? Was that On the Clock right there? I think that was On the Clock.
Yes, it
maybe,
was.
Maybe it was On the Clock.
It was On the Clock.
Yes, our pop-up show here on The Score. It just happens when the Bears have the number one overall pick, and then we put the show away, the emotional ending to it. So, yeah, that was Trey Wingo then. And I am looking forward to continuing the conversation right now with Trey Wingo, of course, of the 33rd Team Chasing It podcast, the Alternate Routes podcast, which I absolutely love. You can find this man on Twitter or X at WINGOZ. He is Trey Wingo, and he is on The Score. What's going on, Trey? Thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, Mark, always good to talk to you. How are you, man?
I am doing well. I'm just wondering, just listening to you talking about that, you know, truthful 50% fail rate for these elite quarterbacks, or even if you want to talk about elite players around the league, can we lower that fail rate right now for Caleb Williams, considering what, since the last time you and I talked, what they have built around this quarterback, Caleb Williams?
I certainly hope so, and I've said this before. I believe if Justin Fields had walked into the situation that Caleb Williams was walking into, he'd probably still be the Bears quarterback. I mean, you have DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, whom, by the way, that trade slayed Justin Herbert because we had him on the Chasing It podcast, and he was talking about how Keenan is the perfect thing for a quarterback because he knows exactly where he's going to be at all times. Then you had DeAndre Swift. I mean, Justin Fields walked into a team that had no playmakers on offense and a terrible, arguably the worst defense for 2 years in the history of the Bears franchise, right?
Yeah.
So what is Caleb Williams walking into? He's walking into a receiver room that has all his veterans plus DeAndre Swift and a Bears defense that is finally back in the top 10. Caleb Williams is set up for success. I firmly believe that. And I think where you go has as much to do with how you play in the NFL as opposed to your actual talents. And I think Caleb Williams is set up to have a really, really good career.
You know, it's kind of ironic because we around here have always said that, you know, the Bears are going to suck because this is where wide receivers go to die. The offensive line is not good enough. They don't have a good tight end. All of the excuses. You can't say that now because it's all there for the Bears. So this sounds strange to say, and I kind of got into this a little bit last night, Trey. It feels like the only one that could screw up the Bears offense right now is Caleb Williams because everything is kind of in place.
He's set up for success. And like, look, Patrick Mahomes, it was going to be Patrick Mahomes wherever he went, right? But look where Patrick Mahomes went. He went to the Kansas City Chiefs, who have Andy Reid as their head coach. Look at every quarterback that's played for Andy Reid. They had their best years under Andy Reid. They had Eric Bieniemy as a big part of the offense. He had Travis Kelce. He had Tyreek Hill. I'm not taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes because I do believe he's going to go down in the history of the NFL as the greatest quarterback to ever play.
Mm-hmm.
He was set up for exponentially early success because of the things he had around him. And I think that Caleb Williams is set up for that same kind of success.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I hope that, and we're all going to have to wait and see. We obviously know that they had Andy Reid. Matt Eberflus is here. Shane Waldron is the offensive coordinator. So that's going to be a big deal, too. Can Caleb execute? Can those guys coach him up and get the Bears competitive? It creates a very interesting division right now for the Bears, Trey Wingo. You have in Green Bay, you have Jordan Love, obviously. In Detroit, you have Jared Goff. In Minnesota, I think they have J.J. McCarthy. I believe that he will eventually be starting for Minnesota right away. And the Bears have Caleb Williams. How do you kind of handicap the future of this division?
I think it's one of the toughest divisions in football right now. And I say that with a little bit of trepidation because it's really about two rookie quarterbacks and J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams. And if you'll allow me, some friends of mine did some research on first-round draft picks, whether they were a hit or a miss. And they did it on the premise of what made them a hit or a miss is that they received a second contract from the team that drafted them.
Okay,
right?
I like it.
So they did it over a 20-year period from 2000 to 2019. Now, you could make the argument that Baker Mayfield, as the number one pick in 2018, has finally been a hit, but he's on his fourth team, okay?
Huh?
He's on his fourth team now. So from 2000 to 2019, there were 56 quarterbacks taken in the first round of the draft. What percentage of those quarterbacks do you think got a second contract from the team that drafted them?
Well, so you say 56. What percent got the next contract? I'm going to say, I'm going to say 11%.
Well, that's way low, but it's 46%.
Okay.
The point being, it's less than half. And we just went through a quarterback draft like we've never seen before. We had six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. The only other time we ever had six picks in the first round, the sixth quarterback was taken at pick 27 by the Miami Dolphins in 1983 when they picked Dan Marino. And so I mean, the point I'm making is the premise that this league or this division is going to be very tough is based on the two rookie quarterbacks will eventually starting in J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams. When history over a 20-year period has told us less than half of those guys will get a second contract with the team that drafted them. And even what's even more interesting, one of the actual worst position for success in a first-round pick over that 20-year period was wide receiver. There were 77 wide receivers taken in the first round between 2000 and 2019, and only 27% of them got a second contract from the team that drafted them. We all like to pretend like we know something. None of us know anything when it comes to the draft. It is the most inexact science in the history of the world.
It really is. I hate the reality, but it's true. And I appreciate your research, by the way. That's some good stuff. We all, by the way, we always allow for research on this show. You said if I would allow you, always, Trey, we'll always allow you to bring that to the air.
Otherwise, we're just gasbagging, right?
No,
otherwise, we're just throwing out opinions that have no anything based in reality. So for me, the research is critical. I'm not making a guess. I'm saying, well, this is what the numbers tell us. So of the six quarterbacks taken in the first round, it is likely that more than half of them will fail.
Yeah, and you know we've already mentioned Justin Fields here, and you've made your point very clear from the couple times we've been on that they should have, they could have surrounded Justin Fields with these guys, and you believe that that's a safer route to go. And I hear you, but what do you think about Justin Fields now? Not only is the backup quarterback in Pittsburgh, but they're talking about with the new rules that maybe he can get involved on kick returns as well. And I was talking about this. It's like Justin Fields' head has got to be spinning after the Bears experience and the emotions of that. Then the emotions of seemingly nobody wanting him. And then the emotions of going to Pittsburgh to be a backup quarterback. And now he's reading about himself potentially being a kick returner. What do you make of that?
I think if the Pittsburgh Steelers are serious about Justin Fields as a quarterback at all, he should not be a kick returner.
Truth.
Because then you are just putting him at jeopardy. Even with the new rules, you're putting him at jeopardy for hits that every quarterback is trying to avoid, right? Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, if I would say something to Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin and the staff of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would say, you have Russell Wilson on a one-year contract. You have Justin Fields on a one-year contract. Russell Wilson is in his mid to late 30s. Justin Fields is still a young man who I think can be developed around, and they have a lot of weapons in Pittsburgh. Do not put him as a kick returner. Find someone else because, you know, I do believe Justin is in a great situation. You know, Kenny Pickett got so upset, he put himself in a horrible situation.
He sure did.
You know, he's like, well, I'm not going to compete for this. So he mouthed off, and now he's a backup to a quarterback that the Philadelphia Eagles have invested $250 million in. He's not seeing the field. Justin Fields has a chance to be the next quarterback of the for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a long time because Russell Wilson is on a one-year expiring contract where Denver is paying him $39 million to play somewhere else. You don't have a better situation where you can go in and be and usurp whomever is supposed to be the starting quarterback. So I would say to the Pittsburgh Steelers, unless you are convinced on May 3rd of 2024 before the season begins – that Justin Fields will never be your starting quarterback, you do not put him as a kick returner.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think it's a joke and maybe literally a joke, and we'll all find out. Speaking of the idea of usurping quarterbacks and not being able to sniff the field because the starter is making all the money, what did you think about what the Atlanta Falcons did in drafting Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 to play behind Kirk Cousins?
I think that it's important to have a succession plan. And Kirk Cousins is in the Hall of Fame of football business. Remember, he was the 4th-round pick for the then Redskins and now the Commanders in 2012, the same year in which they took RG3 second overall.
Yep.
RG3 has been out of football for 4 years, and Kirk Cousins has made more money guaranteed than any other quarterback in the history of the NFL.
It's amazing.
But it's not going to go on forever. And that 4-year, $180 million contract he signed is not, as you know, it's not a 4-year, $180 million contract. It's a 2-year, $100 million contract, and we'll see. Every contract is only about the guaranteed money. So it's very similar to what the Packers did in 2021, where they – or 2021, where they drafted Jordan Love, moved up in the first round to draft Jordan Love while they had Aaron Rodgers, or very similar to 2005.
when the Packers in the first round took Aaron Rodgers when they had Brett Favre. They are planning for the succession. And I think it's smart. I think it's because if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you cannot win. The years where a Jeff Hostetler or a Trent Dilfer will bring your team to a Super Bowl championship do not exist anymore. Let's just go down the list of quarterbacks that have led teams to a Super Bowl championship. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Matthew Stafford.
Uh-huh.
It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Tom Brady.
Right.
It's Nick Foles in an outlier of all outliers.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's Tom Brady. It's Peyton Manning. It's Tom Brady. It's Joe Flacco. Or excuse me, 48 was Russell Wilson. It's Joe Flacco. It's Eli Manning. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's Drew Brees. It's 43 would be Ben Roethlisberger. It's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's Peyton Manning. Like, you're getting what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Outside of the Nick Foles thing, it's you got to have a stud. You got to have that guy, or you don't have a chance.
I line up with you on that one, man. I guess I haven't been as bold as to say that it's a good move, but I'm like, look, man, I mean, all that you're saying, like the backup, the Bear, guess what? Guess what, Bears fans listening right now? You're probably going to see the backup quarterback play for the Chicago Bears this year at some point in time. Starting quarterbacks get injured, so the backup quarterback is more valuable than ever. I don't know if we're ever going to get to a point in the NFL where teams can afford to do like what Atlanta is doing or have two legitimate quarterbacks on their roster. I don't know if that's going to happen, but maybe it begins to trend that way just because of how, as you said, as you pointed out very perfectly, how important having a good quarterback is or a great quarterback is because it leads to Super Bowl wins, as you just pointed out.
Yeah, and that was my whole point about why you shouldn't have traded Justin Fields away when you did. I'm not saying you don't trade him away. I'm saying you trade him when you get value for him. They got no value for him. And you and I have had this discussion before. They got no value in the sixth-round pick. If they had held on to him, and everyone knows that Caleb's going to be the guy, it's not an issue, then you just increase the value of something that you have. And that's the issue I had with the way they decided to throw this thing down.
Trey, a couple more things for you before I let you go. What do you think about the Roger Goodell and basically his desire to kind of wipe out the preseason and maybe make this, you know, to add on another game, make it an 18-game schedule? Are you down with that?
I'm not, because I don't think the human body can take it. But the biggest thing you take away from that is people need to understand what the commissioner of a sport is. And we have this sort of outdated philosophy that the commissioner of a sport, whether it's basketball, baseball, hockey, football, soccer, whatever, is sort of this grandfatherly figure that is caretaking the game. If you will excuse me, that is complete and utter bull bleep, okay? The commissioner works for the owners. He represents the owners. The commissioner's job is to be the front-facing guy for the owners and handle their agenda. When Roger Goodell says this in 2024, he's basically saying when the CBA is up, which, by the way, do you know when the CBA is up?
When?
After the 2030 season. Okay?
Yeah.
So at a minimum, they can start negotiating this new CBA 5 years from now.
Oh.
That's him telling the NFLPA, guess what? This is happening.
Uh-huh.
Everything else is a maybe or a whatever. This is where we are planting our flag.
You have no choice in the matter.
Yes. This is where we can make more money. And I actually had people on social media say, dude, you don't understand. They get the same money for preseason games as they do for regular season games, whether it's tickets, parking, concessions. And I'm like, how dumb are you? This is not about a preseason game price. This is about selling an 18-game season as a package to a TV or streaming company as opposed to a 17-game package, which makes exponentially more money. It has nothing to do with the frickin' ticket prices or parking prices or concession prices. That is couch coins under a sofa, okay? What they're doing is making a complete package
more profitable for a $20 billion a year industry. So when Rogers says that, he's basically saying, hey, get ready, because we'll negotiate a bunch of different stuff and we'll give you some stuff, NFLPA, to make you feel like you won. But we are moving towards an 18-game regular season, whether you freaking like it or not.
His job, man, is to kiss up to the owners and make as much money for everybody as possible. They never get it twisted, and you obviously don't have it twisted, that Roger Goodell is working for the owners, he is working for the dollar, and I guess if it does go to an 18-game schedule, I imagine, Trey, most fans will probably like it and maybe not look at it, you know, like you're looking.
Will.
You know what I mean? They're going to love it. They're going to eat it up. That's why they know that they have the product that has the demand that can make them more dough.
And that means probably two bye weeks, which means the Super Bowl will be a President's Day weekend, which means what should have happened years ago, the day after the Super Bowl, will be a national frickin' holiday.
Now, that is something that I think everybody would accept.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. Trey, it's been a blast as always. What's the most recent Alternate Routes podcast where you go back and say what if and relive something if something different had happened?
We just redid one with Ender Balls of Chicago. The 1979 NBA draft was the first overall pick was decided by a coin flip, and Magic Johnson was the number one pick. So what happens if the Bulls win that coin flip instead of the Lakers? Artis Gilmore might become the most prolific scorer in the history of the NBA. Because if you look at Artis Gilmore's numbers and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's numbers at the time of that draft, they are almost identical.
Really?
Identical.
Okay.
So you bring Magic to Chicago, Artis Gilmore becomes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then what happens in 84? The Bulls definitely aren't drafting Michael Jordan because they're not there with a third or fourth overall pick. So they have to go somewhere else. So Jordan goes somewhere else. And what does that do to the Jordan legacy? What does that do to the Jordan brand? So we literally taped that one last week, and it's one of the more fascinating episodes we've ever taped.
That's fantastic. I'm definitely going to listen to it, Trey. I appreciate you, man, always coming on the score. Have a great weekend, man, and I know we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, Mark. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Thanks, man. That is Trey Wingo of the 33rd Team Chasing It podcast, the Alternate Routes podcast, as he was just talking about. Such a great idea for a podcast to go back and the what if, you know, the greatest what if in the city of Chicago, I believe, is, and there's a million of them, it's still the Bartman game and what happens. And I know, hey, some of us also remember a ball going through the legs of Alex Gonzalez, but I'd love to explore the trajectory of the Cubs organization if they win that game and get into the World Series. That would be fascinating. We are late for a break, so we'll do it. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back in. We're going to actually talk about the Chicago White Sox in just a little bit. Something that I heard on The Score today that just absolutely stunned me. I hadn't heard from anybody. I hadn't seen from anybody. But I want to discuss it coming up a little bit after 7 o'clock. So that is on the way, and then we'll get back to Cubs with Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network coming up.
Something interesting about the White Sox?
Well,
Actually, there's a
yes,
lot
it is interesting. By definition,
on the field.
Yeah, by definition, what I'm going to say, because it might be interesting to you that the White Sox are 6-25. So the word interesting,
true,
I think is rather benign in this case. But it is interesting what I am going to discuss. I don't know if that means that you're going to like it, but it is coming up. A few text messages, 312-644-6767. Mark, one of the best what-ifs is if Terry Bradshaw came to Chicago. Yes, somehow, some way, that was possible that the Bears could have landed him, but he ended up, of course, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. 708, if Caleb doesn't get to the Super Bowl within 5 years, he's a bigger bust than Ryan Leaf.
Why?
Man. I don't know if bust is going to be the word. It just depends on how good he is, like, on the way to whatever ascension he ends up having.
If he gets to 3 NFC championships?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or to the playoffs 4 of 5 years?
Right. I don't think you're calling, like, I don't think Jim Kelly was a bust just because he was the guy in the Super Bowl year after year after year.
Donovan McNabb was not a bust.
No, because he didn't quite get there. So it really is. I do understand why the texter would say that, because the expectations for him are enormous, not just because it's Caleb Williams, but per the conversation I was just having with Trey Wingo, the offense is set up to succeed. The only person that feels like that can, on paper, that could bring it down would be the quarterback, because everything is set nicely for Caleb to succeed. So that is the truth. 630, thanks for the Hendricks update. Yeah, no problem. He had one successful rehab start last night. He'll get another one for the Iowa Cubs coming up, and then we'll see. What else we got here? Cubs offense is dismal right now. Don't forget about that part of it. Yeah, I mean, look, when a bullpen guy is, you know, if there's a blown bullpen game, or you just have somebody like Albert Alzolay that is struggling, it's kind of like a sports talk radio emergency. It's a 911 situation. It needs to be talked about. And maybe we've been talking about the wrong guy, and we will talk about Hayden Wesneski a little bit later on in the day that he had. I want to talk specifically when we get back into the Cubs about a Matt Mervis at bat today that I didn't think was particularly good. So we'll get into some of that with the Cubs in about 20 minutes from right now. But coming up, my interesting conversation, air quotes, about the Chicago White Sox. I'm Mark Grody. This is The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.